Hello, Greg Frizzell here with the Mount Washington Radio Group. I'm the general manager and owner of 93.5 WMWV-FM, Magic 104.5, and Magic 98.1. And we're broadcasting a special drive time this evening for our listeners. We've been working on drive times lately here for the COVID-19 outbreak and trying to speak with people who could answer questions and help you take a look at what's going on and how to deal with things. And tonight we have a very special guest, Dr. Wayne Cunningham, psychotherapist right here in North Conway. And he's joined us here. Hello, Dr. Wayne. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Greg?
I'm doing excellent. Also have Gino Devaney here with me, helping produce the show as since we've started.
Yep, absolutely. And I want to remind everybody real quick, you can text in any questions that you may have for Dr. Cunningham at 603-356-9145. You can also email us, office@wmwv.com. Again, you can text in any questions. We're going to have a great conversation now. And if anything pops into your head, do not hesitate. Text in right away, 603-356-9145.
And I'd just like to mention our sponsors for this segment, Cooper Cargill Chant, Leoning McDonald and Roberts, and Settlers Green and Settlers Crossing. So we've had a pretty active day, Dr. Cunningham, with questions coming in throughout the day on our email and text line. So we'll go ahead and get started right away. First question I have for you, someone wrote in that said, there's a husband and wife, they're both at home working together now, basically quarantined at their home and trying to work from home, and they are looking for things to help them maintain a civil relationship because they've been working so close in such close quarters, and it's starting to get a little unsettling. What would you say to someone in that situation, and how to keep things civil between the two people?
Well, one of the most important things when people have to be together and work together, they should have their own space. If they can do it, one would work out of one room and one would work out of the other. So there isn't the kind of competition for space. I also think it's important that they have a schedule so that there's times during the day where they can actually be together, whether they go out and have take a walk and have a cup of coffee together or sit out on the porch. But there's times when it's clear delineations between what's work life and what's their couple life. I'm not sure whether this couple has kids, but then you have to factor in that part, too, so that everything gets scheduled out. It's called chunking in cognitive behavioral terms, but there are times that you're working, there's times that you're together as a family, and there's times that you're alone, you need some alone time. I think the most important thing for the couple to do is to work in separate rooms. So mm-hmm. they essentially go to work, they go in another room.
Yep.
Those things may be helpful for them.
Okay, that sounds great. So basically, kind of keeping things structured so that so they have an actual plan and it's just not willy-nilly running into each other all the time. It's, okay, we're working now. Right. We're
And it's also not the judgmental thing. Is he listening to me? Is she listening to me? Mm-hmm. What are they thinking about it? Are they having opinions about it? It just separates it.
Okay, that's great.
Much as like you'd go to work in Jackson or you'd go to work in Bartlett, you're not working together. So
right.
You try to separate that as much as possible.
Okay, that sounds great. Now, Gino has a question for you.
Yep, this one says, hi, Dr. Cunningham. My daughter is an essential worker, works very hard, and when she comes home, she has a day off. She's always very sad, very tired, and sleeps all day. We don't think she's sick. We've checked her temperature. She has no symptoms. Personally, we think she's depressed. Is there anything I can do for her to help her pull out of this?
The first thing that I would do is ask her about it. I would say, this is what I've noticed, and ask her if other people who she works with are experiencing the same thing. I'm considered an essential worker, and yeah, at the end of the day, I'm pretty well, if you will, cooked. And if she works at the hospital, it's sad. There's no other way around it. That we're getting faced with something that could be people dying, and if they don't die, they're not healthy for a while, and it's very difficult. And if that's the way she's coping with it, and she's not depressed, and she's talking to her colleagues about it, and they seem to be feeling the same way, then she's okay. She may also want to check in with a therapist. If there's nothing say that you at sometimes in your life you need to check in with somebody, and she gives a therapist to call.
Mm-hmm. So basically, to just address it outright with her daughter.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I mean, she could be sad, depressed for lots of reasons.
Right.
But you don't know until you ask. We're assuming that she's depressed and sad because she's working as an essential worker, but we don't know that.
Right.
It could be that her colleague is a pain in the neck.
Right, right.
But you don't know until you ask.
Right.
And I think the most important thing is have an open line of communication between you and your daughter to find out what's going on.
Okay, that sounds great. Another question came in from a person that says, they said, I have a Massachusetts license plate on my car, but I live here in North Conway, and I'm finding people are being, I'm just going to say for the short part, being very rude to this person. And they're saying, you know, how do I deal with that, and why is this happening, and what can I do?
To be flippant, the first thing is get an AMC license plate.
That'd be a good call.
The other thing is that I think that people are angry, and people are angry at people from tourists who come here and take us. They feel like they own the place. They feel like they can come up here and do whatever they please, and people are here who live here are struggling with that. And they're projecting that anger onto this poor guy who's now a New Hampshire citizen, because they don't know what to do about it. They see the New Hampshire license plate, Massachusetts license plates, have a bad rap at the community, and they see it and they project their anger onto it because they got to get rid of their anger somehow. And they're choosing to do it against this new New Hampshire citizen.
What would you say, as well as someone who maybe is from Massachusetts and getting this attitude and behavior from people in the community?
One of the easiest things to do, if you smile and wave at somebody, it kind of diffuses them. So if somebody's really angry at you for and not doing anything wrong, if you just kind of wave to them.
Yeah.
Because essentially we are all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to help us to be picking fights or getting angry at people who are just here because they're trying to survive as well.
Right. Really good advice. Okay, how about you, Gino? Another question?
Yeah, another one that kind of piggybacks on that one. I do want to remind people that you can text in 603-356-9145. These are real questions that are coming in for Dr. Wayne Cunningham. He is a psychotherapist, mental health counselor, and he's willing to help at least guide you in the right direction on perhaps getting some help if you have any questions at all. This one goes about anger as well. It says, my daughter seems angry all the time since the stay-at-home order, so much so that she's now lashing out at us here in the house, especially her brother and me, her mom. She's always been a bit emotional, but now it's getting to an extreme. No matter what I say, seems to always set her off. What's the best way to go about speaking with her?
I think you need to acknowledge the fact that your daughter is angry, and she's angry because she doesn't have any answers. And I think the worst thing for people is to not know, is to be left in limbo. Mm-hmm. And she's a daughter living at home. I'm going to assume for a minute that she's in high school. And maybe she's in a junior and senior, her whole life is around high school and around her friends, and she can't see her friends, and she can't do any of the things that she wanted to do. And if she's a senior, she's thinking about going to college or what I'm going to do afterwards. And all of this stuff has been short-circuited.
Right.
Oftentimes, kids in that age group, 17, 18, don't really want to talk to their parents.
True.
And it's always easy to project it onto a younger brother or sister. You may just say to her, listen, I'm here for you to talk to. Are you being in touch with your friends? Is there somebody who you would be able to talk to? Offer things for her to do. And just say to her, I understand you're angry, and so am I. Because I haven't seen anybody lately who is not angry or scared or frightened about what's happening to us. And just try to get her to talk about it.
So basically, what you have is a situation where, and I think this goes for a lot of people in, where they're just frightened, basically, and confused, and they're just looking for some way to find a way through this, and some of it's very not productive, I guess.
To make sense out of it and turn the TV off.
Yep, yep. That sounds
good. And turn the, you know, turn off Facebook and all that kind of stuff, and just kind of stop that, because it's too much input and people can't process it. And I'm not sure I know how old this young lady is, but she may be overwhelmed by all of this. And the only way she knows how to deal with it is to project it out, what I call out sideways, and be angry at other people.
And that really
easiest one to be angry at is your parents.
Yeah.